Welcome back to Farm Talk. I'm News and Farm Director Eric Johnson in for Mick Care. Mick will be back with us on Monday. But it is a Friday, favorite day of the week, and we get to talk about the great outdoors now with North Dakota Game and Fish Department biologist Doug Lear. Doug, boy, what an interesting fishing season this year. I'll be honest with you, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you for a while because I don't get to fill in for Mick to talk to you for, very often. But I haven't gone fishing this year. I got to admit, things got hot so early, and I just didn't think it was going to be very good. But what are you hearing?
Yeah, and you're not the only one, quite honestly. And, you know, there's a couple things when we look at the numbers. Minnesota, North Dakota, our fishing license sales numbers are down from last year. But part of that has to do with the fact that last summer with the pandemic, so many other things were canceled. You know, a lot of the traditional summer baseball and softball and activities and concerts. So the outdoors had a spike in activity. We saw a pretty significant jump in fishing license sales. So when we look at it just like from raw numbers, we were kind of expecting maybe a little bit of a reduction in fishing license sales. And a couple weeks ago when I checked North Dakota, we were down in, you know, different licensing categories, from husband and wife fishing licenses to individual and combination licenses, you know, anywhere down from 10 to 20 some odd percent, depending on which category you looked at. And driving down that discussion a little bit further is the fact that you kind of alluded to is the old country song. I don't know if it was Travis Tritt, it's Too Hot to Fish, I think was that one from back in the 90s?
It could be. I don't remember much of the 90s, so yeah, it could have been.
Yeah. But it kind of plays into, you know, our wheelhouse of comfort, where you might go out ice fishing a couple times when there's 4 feet of snow and it's 25, 30 below zero. But when you have a stretch like we had in February, where we had a stretch of, it seemed like it was 25 below for 2 weeks, you see the interest and the multiple trips really, really tail off in a hurry. Yeah. And similar in the summertime, where you still had people heading to the lakes, heading to the water, as we're, you know, finally back to maybe a little bit normal air temperatures for what we'd be expecting. But the change came in, like, hardcore fishing. And you might have people that would go out and do a little fishing for maybe a little while, then after that they were jumping in the water, or even some were just saying, hey, we're going back and finding some place to get in the shade, maybe getting into an air-conditioned cabin or camper, or just really exiting the lake altogether. And especially you see that when you look at maybe a demographic or what you would picture of a hardcore summer angler might be someone in the, you know, late 50s, mid 60s, up into the 70s. And, you know, when you have dew points of 75 degrees and air temperatures of 95 and heat indexes of 110, it's just not even safe, right, to be out on the water. So you take those variables into account. I don't think you have to apologize for not fishing as much, or if you're a farmer or a rancher and you had some spare time on a Friday or on a Saturday, and, you know, you'd been out fixing fence or, you know, spraying in the heat, the last thing you wanted to do is go back out into the heat with and sweat all day. So that's what we kind of see in a big picture, is the interest in fishing is there. The first couple trips are there, but those return trips, when you feel like you're going fishing in a sauna with, you know, boiling water in a hot tub around you, You just don't see quite as much as that, Eric.
Right. I almost equate it, in the years that I've been fishing, it's usually spring is great, June is usually really good. We get to July, you know, things are hot, the fish seem to go deep, and the activity seems to go down, unless you want to catch, you know, sunnies under a dock. That's always usually a good thing. But beyond that, I just kind of equate this year, like, our July moved up to, like, early June because we were so darn hot right away. And the other part of it is, and I don't know if this is in North Dakota Lakes, but I've heard of Minnesota Lakes, that there's also been some oxygen issues. I don't know if that's related to heat or whatever it happens to be, but maybe you can talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, and you're right. It's a combination, because as you said kind of in the beginning, and you saw that with pastures and small grains and everything else, that our June felt like July, our July felt and looked like August. And we typically kind of have the old dog days of summer. Usually wait until maybe the high school football practice has started and you start to see a shift to maybe fall activity and people aren't maybe as interested in fishing as much. And we started to see that even before the 4th of July, that kind of feeling of the dog days of summer. And you start to lose a little bit of the enthusiasm. And then you go into, like you said, kind of the equation of what we had happening in the lakes, where we did not have the runoff, we didn't have the fresh water in the springtime, we didn't have any snowpack to recharge some of those lakes and the reservoirs in North Dakota. You go through a dry summer, you have lake levels that have been dropping, not just for the fish, but for people wanting to get their boats out and their boat lifts and their boat docks. We saw and continue to see real problems with just the low water levels for recreation. The fish, it is not a good situation when you have the high water temperatures of 75 to 80 degrees. That doesn't create as a strong of an oxygen environment, and you can actually end up with summer kills. We had some in like southeastern North Dakota on some cold water species like trout in Morton Pond that had been stocked, which typically happens in any summer, but maybe a little bit more dramatically this year. In a way, you almost boil the fish. The water gets so warm, they lose the dissolved oxygen, and you need that fresh influx of water from rain, from creeks and rivers and springs, and then also those cooler water temperatures. We haven't heard or been made aware of any significant widespread fish kills, knock on wood, that might be happening and we just haven't seen or heard about it yet. But you're right, we haven't even really scratched the surface on the access issues that have been caused by the low water levels, Eric.
Yeah, that was one of the things I'd heard recently. Some friends still down in Detroit Lakes area, that they were starting to already see some pontoons come off the smaller lakes because they were afraid they weren't going to be able to get them off if they kept them out there too long. And you think about these smaller lakes, I think that those are the ones that really take the brunt. And I don't want to make a blanket statement and make it sound like fishing isn't good all like all over North Dakota, because I've had some friends say, hey, no, Devil's Lake and some of the bigger bodies of water are still producing some good fish.
And thanks for saying that, because we're not trying to make a glass half full. If I was saying, if the glass is half full, we just get a smaller glass and fill that thing up. But it's a reality check, is what I say. Is I don't want to blow smoke up anybody's kilt and tell them when they go when they head out there, it's going to be all rainbows, unicorns, and butterflies. We're dealing with some different dynamics this year. And you talk about the pontoons and the boat lifts and the docks. It's similar to what we remind people in the middle of winter, when they haven't been out to their ice house, and maybe now your ice house is frozen, it's drifted in. If you haven't been out to the lake cabin, if you haven't been out to the boat, you might want to make plans to do that, because at times, we always have good intentions of, I'm going to get to the lake this week. Oh, I forgot we had a wedding this weekend. Oh man, we got a class reunion going on this week and an anniversary. And next thing you know, it's been 2 or 3 weeks, and you're absolutely right, where we could, if things don't change, We could be seeing even more widespread issues, as you said, not just the pontoons, but we might see some of the deeper well boats struggling to get them out of there. And I've heard from other people, depending on the lake, there's some lakes that have a much better grade, they're much deeper and have a better slope. But we've also seen over the last 25 years, 30 years since the water started to come back in 1993, that we have more use on lakes and reservoirs that we never had before. But when they go from a couple years ago of 18 feet down to 16 feet and start shrinking down to 14 feet in the deep spots, you're bound to have some problems with that. And as you tagged on the backside of that, that doesn't mean the fishing hasn't been good. I've heard the same thing. Yeah. There's been some great fishing taking place. And one of the nice things about it, where we live, is when you have the daylight lasting, it's still light enough out there after 8:30. Don't have the 9:30 sunlight like we had a month ago, but you can fish those edges, and you can, the edges of the day, early in the morning, late in the evening, and you're comfortable, the fish are biting, And, you know, whether you're catching the fish at 2 in the afternoon or 8 o'clock at night, it still fries up in the pan and tastes pretty darn good there, Eric.
One more lake/fishing question, then we'll get into some hunting questions in our second segment here. But I wanted to talk to you a bit about zebra mussels. I did see some new infestations, and, you know, they're still there. So what's that been like this year? Has it been a bigger problem with the heat, or has that helped at all?
I think it's really, for me, and don't take this word the wrong way, it's been kind of interesting because you have water levels dropping, exposing areas and going, wow, we've got zebra mussels all over the place. You know, when you have exposed rock and exposed shoreline that had been covered up, it's been an eye-opener for some places that have been infested. The biggest head-scratcher for me, right in our own backyard, is I go down to Main Avenue in Fargo off the what used to be called the Midtown Dam.
Yeah.
And there's rock rapids down there. There's a boat landing and there's a dock. And the water levels are like it would be in like September or October. I mean, it's really low. And the exposed rock doesn't have as many zebra mussels as I expected to find. You go up to Grand Forks to the Riverside Dam and that wide, wide open space up there, and there's zebra mussels everywhere. It's kind of interesting, but we've heard other spots that we've been finding zebra mussels on. It's definitely bad news. Has it been good or bad with the drought? I'd say it's hard to tell because this is the driest that we've had since we've had zebra mussels just, you know, kind of pop on the radar screen in the last 10 years. We haven't dealt with this, so I'd say the jury's still out. We don't know right now, Eric.
We're going to take our first break. You're listening to Friday Outdoors with Doug Lear. We'll be back with more. We'll talk hunting when we come back in just a moment.